Good afternoon. I'm Lisa Labas, and this is The Rundown. The Illinois Department of Public Health is recommending COVID-19 vaccinations for most people in the state. The announcement from the agency yesterday is in direct contrast to recent guidance from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. That federal agency declined to recommend the shots for anyone, deciding people could make their own decision after speaking with a doctor, nurse, or pharmacist. Dr. Kiran Joshi is Chief Operating Officer at the Cook County Department of Public Health and tells our In the Loop program the state considered how the federal guidance might reduce vaccine uptake.
Really took into account the idea that this shift to shared decision-making really would weaken the clarity of a universal message of vaccination and would really put more burden on clinicians and patients.
Joshi also says healthcare access for some people is limited, and that could create a vaccine equity issue. A Chicago police officer is accused of using his law enforcement credentials to purchase guns, including an AR-style rifle, for a man who then smuggled them into Mexico. Officer Kevin Rodriguez surrendered to authorities on Tuesday. He faces conspiracy and other charges in a 9-page federal indictment. That indictment references Illinois' controversial assault weapons ban, but it notes law enforcement officers are permitted to purchase those weapons. A Chicago Police Department spokesperson says Rodriguez was relieved of his police powers in July and is on no-pay status. Chicago's baseball teams are struggling to close out the regular season with a few wins. The Cubs last night lost the first game of their final homestand to the Mets, and that extends the Cubs' losing streak to 5. Manager Craig Counsell was a little tight-lipped after the game.
They came back. They battled well. They got some big hits for sure. You know, we didn't put together a complete enough game to win.
The Cubs are going to need to get back on track in tonight's game against the Mets if they want to finish in the top wild card spot. Meantime, the White Sox fell to the Yankees in New York 3-2 on the road. They've now dropped 9 of their last 10. The White Sox are well out of postseason contention, but they still want to avoid racking up 100 losses for this season. And Chicago Bears quarterback Caleb Williams has been awarded NFC Offensive Player of the Week for his Sunday performance against the Dallas Cowboys. Williams on Sunday threw for 298 yards and 4 touchdowns in the Bears' 31-14 win. It's the first time the second-year quarterback has been named Defensive Player of the Week. Williams is the first Bear to receive the award as well, since receiver DJ Moore did it in 2023. You're listening to The Rundown. It's been just over 2 weeks since the Department of Homeland Security began its expanded immigration enforcement campaign in the Chicago area. WBEZ and the Sun-Times have been reporting on every angle of this operation to try and understand how it is impacting people in the community and what might come next. Sun-Times reporter Nader Issa talked with my colleague Claire Lane about where things stand today.
How many people, and I know this information has sort of been hard to get, but how many people have been arrested since the enforcement increased?
Yeah, on one hand, the Department of Homeland Security this week said it's 550 people in the past couple weeks, but that number can't really be verified. They haven't been releasing data since early this year that sort of comprehensively gives details about people arrested and where they're arrested. ICE, the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency, they say that they're arresting the worst of the worst criminals in Chicago. But a Sun-Times analysis reviewed the names of people that ICE is touting as the worst of the worst. And some of them do have violent criminal histories, but some of them also have been arrested outside of Illinois even, or, you know, they've been deported and brought and came back into the country. So we can't definitively say how many arrests, and some of their criminal histories also don't match court records. So it's hard to say.
So what can you tell us about at least how and where these arrests have happened, or some of them?
The feds have sort of used the same playbook that they used in Los Angeles, where they started this campaign before coming to Chicago. It started small. They've arrested people in parking lots, like the flower vendor that they arrested in early September in a Honda parking lot. And then they ramped up from there. There have been traffic stops in the suburbs, in city neighborhoods. A lot of these have been concentrated in communities with large immigrant populations. And then the tactics have just escalated from there. DHS Secretary Kristi Noem joined agents in a militarized vehicle in Elgin a couple weeks ago. You know, they wore military fatigues. This was early morning, about 5:30 a.m., and they busted down a door and went in and arrested detained six people. One of the people detained was a U.S. citizen. And so they've really built this up over time.
And talking about that buildup, there have also been escalating interactions with protesters, with demonstrators. How has pushback changed since this began?
So there have been protests against immigration enforcement here for a while, but especially at this facility in West Suburban Broadview, that's where ICE takes people once they've been arrested to be processed into detention. The protests have been peaceful, but last week they were met a little bit more forcefully. Protesters were trying to block an entrance to the facility, and you know, ICE agents and Border Patrol agents started shooting them with pepper balls, sending tear gas canisters into the crowd. Some protesters have thrown objects, slashed tires, but the protests at the facility have continued. They've been more subdued in the past few days, but yesterday ICE, you know, put up a fence around the facility to try to limit some of those protests.
And zooming out just a bit, what's the impact of this operation?
Yeah, it's sort of been on these two parallel tracks. One, communities here are scared. You're hearing all about this enforcement. The Trump administration is making a big deal out of it. Some people are scared to leave their homes. Some are sending their kids to school with older siblings or neighbors so that they don't have to walk them and risk, you know, an ICE agent coming up to them at school drop off or pickup. And people are skipping appointments, you know, grocery stores are offering home delivery. And then on the other side, there's the Trump administration, and they're really trying to capitalize off the optics of this. They're putting out videos many days a week in this sort of action style, showing their enforcement, showing the Elgin raid. They've got rock music on it. So they're trying to show their political base that they're going after communities that they've promised they would.
And just quickly, how long do we think this immigration operation is going to continue?
It's unclear. We've reported, you know, earlier this month that it could go until the end of September, but the federal government's plans have continued to change, and there's still this lingering threat of the National Guard. We don't know when that could come or if it'll come.
Sun-Times reporter and editor Nader Issa speaking about the latest on the enhanced immigration enforcement operation in the Chicago area. Weather partly sunny and breezy today. We've got a high in the mid-70s, and then tonight cloudy, a few scattered showers with a low near 60, and for Thursday sunshine, a few scattered showers in the morning and a high in the mid-70s. You can find the latest news whenever you want at WBEZ.org or on your radio at 91.5 FM. I'm Lisa Labas. Thanks for listening.